These works and this performance performed live on September 20th of this year, 2012, in Stornoway, Scotland, as part of the concert Silence and Transmission at the Anne Lanter Arts Centre. The first piece is Speech. John Cavanaugh is the newsreader. Radios are performed by artists Peter Yerpeth, Jonathan McLeod, Jerry Luce, and Stuart Wilding. And then Indeterminacy, John Cavanaugh as reader, Peter Yerpeth, piano, Stuart Wilding on percussion. Enjoy.
Major Report warns of bottom trawling band danger. Irish Sea MCZ. Local storyteller Ian Stephen has been shortlisted in the outstanding multi-arts project production 2012 category. The British Awards for Storytelling Excellence. Nomination is for Ian's collaborative arts project undertaken with artist Christine Morrison. It's put forward by Chevron Arts director Donald Anderson. He commented on the project. The work produced is graced with apparent simplicity and a deep sophistication.
New Orleans, Memphis,
it also has integrity and reflects the context from which it arose,
I drove across America one time,
including the culture
from
which the stories grew,
and the communities which grew.
In
for a few days. It was brilliant. And,
in November last year,
Ian was
awarded
the
leader-in-residence post with Western Isles Libraries, during which he visited many schools and libraries throughout the Western Isles, accompanied by Christine as part of her research for her Master of Fine Art degree at Edinburgh University. Together, the pair held storytelling workshops with pupils from Primary 1 through to Secondary 1, in which Ian would tell a story, and Christine then led pupils into drawing exercises to capture key images of the tale through a variety of intuitive and responsive drawing techniques. The workshop results were developed into printing plates through Highland Printmaking Studio in Inverness, and the stories condensed into short texts to accompany the images, all of which were combined and made into an artist's book. Video slideshows of selected images and stories also resulted from the project entitled Acts of Trust, to play on the analogy between the act of trust in telling a story without a script and the acts of trust in drawing a line without looking at the paper.
But tonight, broadcasters' lines and Giotto sit within our piano scene on the BBC.
Acts of trust.
And before we turn to Sibelius, I want to continue with the piano scene now.
Have recently worked with adults and are developing the idea into an exhibition.
Both studying piano at the Royal Northern College of Music.
As an integral element of the project.
His undergraduate degree, studying with the head of keyboard department, Graham Scott.
Coffee, you have a bit of water so that you appreciate the next step. And I felt I needed that with the music, you know, so that's... I'm
just by Charlotte.
And his return.
Tweak Simon. Investigate the British family in the French Alps. That's at the same time. With economic crisis, riots and bailouts. But this talk offered a climb. Exaggerated the bottom line with Evan Davis is next evening. And a special edition of Front Row.
For the first couple of years with the casual vacancy.
Zane banger of a tune, bringing it back. Hashtag Team Zane.
Man on the tune. Hashtag loves music. One of the all-time greatest tunes to grace my ears. Bam, bag of the net. Crate from Oldham. And it won for both of us.
Thank you.
Mucking About Mackerel by Rajuta Day. Greenland is vying for the state of a coastal state, since Northeast Atlantic mackerel swam into its waters this summer. Even as the latest meeting in London failed to break the stalemate over the mackerel wars, Greenland is hoping to claim a coastal state status with regards to Northeast Atlantic mackerel, a move that European Union representatives oppose. There is a tiny amount of fish in Greenland's waters. That is no basis for a percentage share or becoming a coastal state member, Sean O'Donoghue, president of the European Association of Producer Organizations, told Fishing News. The current coastal states are the EU, Norway, Iceland, Faroe Islands, and Russia. The demand from European representatives,
you know what?
To not
it's
consider
time to do
Greenland's
something similar for the radio, and so I was invited, you know, by my production team to think about something for Maid of Ale. So we're going to do something similar in December.
Wicked.
A Norwegian fishing industry, the European Commissioner for Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Maria Damanaki, ahead of a meeting in London on 3rd September, where Damanaki met her colleagues from the other coastal states. Norway's Fisheries Minister, Lisbeth Berg-Hansen, Icelandic Fisheries Minister, Steingrimur Stigfussen, and Jakob Vestergaard, Minister of Fisheries of the Faroe Islands. The meeting failed to break the stalemate and elicited familiar refrains from the UK industry. We are disappointed that there was no breakthrough, but if a fair deal wasn't on the table for the EU and Norway, then we support the negotiating position adopted by Commissioner Damanaki, said Ian Gatt, Chief Executive of the Scottish Fishermen's Association.
Let's not forget it costs money. That is better understood, and as a consequence, is given better service to customers.
Mm. And the margin is.
You want it to be.
No,
more.
No, I don't. I just. I think the big Ofgem has worried that the margins are too high.
Said to me, I'm like you, I start with a blank sheet of paper, I try and put a picture on it, and in a way you put on a picture with words, And so throwing ideas like that back and forward can be very, very stimulating, I think, and something I do as often as I can, just as, you know, when you write a song even, and you get a fiddle player or a cellist or a piper to sit down and listen to it and play it, and of course they're going to hear things and ideas and that you would never have thought of for yourself, because in many ways you're so close to it. So I think the collaboration thing is a very good thing to do, although yeah. I'd agree with you, it happens less often in sort of folk music, of contemporary folk music, than it would in pop music.
Now, you worked on an album with Maggie McInnes that came out in 2010, the Seed Boat. How did that all come about?
Yes.
Ports and prices. Keen demand for reduced whitefish supplies. With only 4,161 boxes landed for the first two markets of this week at Peterhead, the larger sections of whitefish secured some of the highest prices seen in recent months, with the best cod and gutted haddock selling at up to £3.70 per kilogram and cody £2.35. Writes Dick Link. Large gutted haddock on Tuesday morning sold at £200 to £211 per 57 kilogram box. Medium selected, £142.50 to £160. Small, £85.50 to £114. Chippers, £63 to £103. Metros, £46 to £68. And brown haddock, £46 to £57. Coley secured 86 to 114, Hake 74 to 154, Ling 114, Gutted Whiting 80 to 103, and Round Whiting 46 to £68 per 57 kilogram box. Two twin rig trawlers, Celestial Dawn and Fruitful Bow, together with four consignments, contributed 810 boxes to the first market of this week at Peterhead. Monday's sale included 401 boxes of gutted and 22 boxes of round haddock, 166 boxes of whiting, 117 rounders, 32 boxes of flats, 18 boxes of monkfish, and 10 boxes of cod.
One of the top five gigs I've ever been to.
Thanks for that.
At the start
so
of
moving
week,
forward now, when can people hear your show, did you?
320 per kilogram, small, 130 to 180, Chippers £1 to £1.70, Metros £0.90 to £1.20, and round haddock £0.60 per kilogram. Gutted whiting were at £1 to £1.60, and round whiting £0.90 to £1.30 per kilogram. Monkfish sold at £4.10 to £4.80 per kilogram, ling £2, coley £1.75 to £2.35, and squid £1 to £6.85 per kilogram. Eight boats, Shalora, Rose Bloom, Boy John, Favonius,
I didn't want it to cloud the space in our music.
Sustain,
that was a very good comment.
Silver Fern,
and
Surmount, plus four consignments, landed 3,351 boxes on Tuesday's market. The sale included 1,087 boxes of gutted and 534 boxes of round haddock. 655 boxes of hake, 348 boxes of cod, 260 boxes of whiting, 193 ungutted, 210 boxes of coley, 58 boxes of flats, and 15 boxes of monkfish. After none were available on Monday morning, large cod sold at up to £3.80 per kilogram on Tuesday's market, when selected medium and small cod moved from £3 to £3.60,
290 to 320, and 225 to £3 per kilogram, respectively.
I think there's been an
and large gut had had at £3.50 to £3.70. Prices for all other selections were generally similar to those on offer the previous morning. Following the largest sale of the week last Wednesday, when 5,644 boxes came from 10 boats and 2 consignments, another 10 vessels, Starlight Ray, Alskia, Opportunus 4, Golden Scepter, Tranquility, Crystal Tide, Arcturus, Argent, Adorn 2 and Ryanwood, plus 5 consignments, contributed 4,064 boxes for Thursday's market. 24 hours later, 7 vessels landed 3,885 boxes. The Scrabster skippers netted crabs. The Benbecula Main Drain meeting took place in Balvanich Hall, Benbecula, recently. The overall aims
John's a very fine guitarist, has been touring with people like Joan Baez and playing in many bands, great accompanist and fine singer too. But,
a whole pile of CDs. But Dylan, I really liked his playing, Bruce. And while I'm talking to you here, I'm just aware of all your listeners in Scotland. It's always great to go over and play there. It's always been an inspiration, and for all your listeners, many of them who would have met on my travels. I just want to say thanks for that.
Well, I was just going to ask, when are we going to see you over here again?
Next year, I'm doing...
Scene. After my Saturday morning stint on the day job was all done and dusted, and I did my usual running around the gauntlet of weekend errands of necessity, painstakingly ticking each one off on my to-do list and slamming and dunking it into the undead bin, it was time to hightail it over the bridge and down to Cuddy Point, to the only place to be, the righteous and respectable rock doodle duet, and fans of Western Isles out of Hebrides modern original music, and the choice of course, shoot or eat one of you, at the inaugural outing of Stramash, with more or less all day while a whopping 7 hours.
To push the boundary.
Here at the BBC, they've attempted to put Prick, sometimes competed, they've attempted to put them in the same room. It doesn't always actually work.
You want people who are passionate about
their
thing.
But you get more activity within the silo if there's a shorthand that they can use to exchange information between each other. So you get
more effectiveness within the silo and perhaps less between the silos.
Don't channel and control it, but certainly not kill it. But I think it is a bad silo.
Scottish airports operator HIAL, which operates Stornoway, Benbecula and Barra airports, has unveiled a multi-million pound plan to replace its fleet emergency firefighting vehicles with new state.
Spanish markets, and of course there was always that tension between the global brand manager and then the local general manager, and there are some great examples where, you know, one country would want Johnny Walker to perform that, although you can't have that, you've got to have that consistency. So as long as the rules are clear and everyone understands how they're incentivized and what success ultimately looks like, then I think you can crack it.
Yeah, it can be very expensive for a very silent outfit with, and this tension between products. And, you know, sometimes if you're just trying to take cost out, you know, you need to have a period of centralisation to drive that. And then maybe you can get that to...
Thank you.
DJ Tom. With Julio Smith.
A burglary, which resulted in the two policewomen being sent to the address.
New nests for St. Kilda's storm hotel. Study hopes to halt decline by early Hartford. Combining their innovative skills and resources, a range of conservation partners have come together to find out why one of Britain's least common seabirds is in
Syrian
decline.
Opposition groups say at least 30 people were killed when a petrol station in the north of the country was hit by a bomb dropped by a government warplane. Dozens of people are said to have been injured in the attack.
An artificial burrow.
The inquest into the death of the former Russian
spy. Some
of
the most restricted birds in the British Isles, which the storm petrels are known only from a handful
about
of
the
sites,
murders of our two
of which the St. Kilda Archipelago is by far the most densely inhabited housing, 94% of the known breeding population. A study carried out on Dyne, one of the St. Kilda Islands, in 1999, recorded 45,000 petrel kills. However, by 2003, this number had halved, with further decline confirmed by a 2006 study. The conservation charity, the National Trust for Scotland, which owns and manages St Kilda, has now joined forces with the Joint Nature Conservation Committee and Inverness College to find out what is happening to the petrel population. In January this year, St Kilda's seabird and marine ranger, Gina Pryor, was tasked with creating a successful artificial burrow for the birds to nest in to aid conservation studies. Previous wooden models had failed to attract the petrels, and with little information available to help her, Gina turned to a budgie breeding box for inspiration. Susan Bain, NTS manager for St Kilda and Western Isles, explained, "Leachy storm petrels are quite difficult to observe because they breed in holes in the though smaller, more akin to the cramped spaces petrels prefer as their natural nest sites. After working through her design, including ensuring the boxes could be flat-packed to ease space constraints on the isolated islands, Gina then had a snag. I only had a couple of weeks before I had to go to St Kilda, and I knew I would not have time to source the materials to make the boxes myself," she explained. Step up, carpentry and joinery students at Inverness College. I took up the challenge and crafted a set of nesting boxes just in time for Gina's return to the archipelago in April. This is a true collaborative research project, Gina continued. Staff and students at Inverness College donated their time and materials, and without their help, we simply would not have been able to build the new design of nest boxes. Once arrived on St Kilda, the next step was to install the boxes and the island cleats before the petrels descended for their breeding season. Taking about 2 weeks to finish the job was a fortnight of hard work for Gina, as she recalled. "I heaved the kit across the hill, it was hard going. The boxes were small and light, but all good to carry across the hill. The tools were packed into my rucksack, and the dirt I needed to put inside the boxes was monumentally heavy. I installed the new boxes, and what a sight I must have been, perched on a grass slope, surrounded by wooden panels, screwdrivers, sandpaper, and a battery-powered drill." It was hard work that was worth it, however, as earlier this summer, Gina, who has inspected the nest boxes every week for the past 5 months, was delighted that one had a new inhabitant. "Catching a glimpse of the first adult bird sitting inside one of the boxes was a complete surprise, as I wasn't sure the boxes would be used this year," she said. "What an incredible feeling. My design had worked." And with the petrels taking to the new style nesting boxes with a vengeance, the good news has kept on coming. First successful hatching of a very fluffy chick, though to be very frustrated, each is storm of the time we've been together.
This is a monochromatic world, dominated.
Occasionally, bright colours remind you of how we see, but soon the black and white return.
Then I like to go balcony around the glass room, which once held black. Normality has returned.
At Darmstadt, when I wasn't involved with music, I was in the woods looking for mushrooms. One day, while I was gathering some hypholomas that were growing around a stump not far from the concert hall, a lady secretary from the Freien Kurs für Neue Musik came by and said, "After all, nature is better than art." Ramakrishna spent an afternoon explaining that everything is God. Afterward, one of his disciples entered the evening traffic in a euphoric state and barely escaped being crushed to death by an elephant. He ran back to his teacher and asked, "Why do you say everything's God when just now I was nearly killed by an elephant?" Ramakrishna said, "Tell me what happened." When the disciple got to the point where he heard the voice of the elephant's driver warning him several times to get out of the way, Ramakrishna interrupted, "That voice was God's voice." Once, when I was a child in Los Angeles, I went downtown on the streetcar. It was such a hot day that, when I got out of the streetcar, the tar on the pavement stuck to my feet. I was barefoot. Getting to the sidewalk, I found it so hot that I had to run to keep from blistering my feet. I went into a five and dime to get a root beer. When I came to the counter, where it was sold from a large barrel, and asked for some, a man standing on the counter high above me said, "Wait, I'm putting in the syrup and it'll be a few minutes." As he was putting in the last can, he missed and spilled the sticky syrup all over me. To make me feel better, he offered a free root beer. I said, "No, thank you." Once, over in Amsterdam, a Dutch musician said to me, "It must be very difficult for you in America to write music. You are so far away from the
centres of tradition. The first time the mushroom class was given at the new school, many people signed up for it. The registrar was alarmed, telephoned me and asked, "Where shall we draw the line?" I said if more than 40 people were involved, it might be difficult. Something like that number registered for the course, but when the field trips actually took place, there were never more than 20 people in the woods. Sometimes attendances dropped to a mere dozen. I couldn't figure out what was happening. I forgot who it was, but one day in the woods, one of the lady students confessed that when she signed up for the court, it was not with the intention of tramping through the woods near New York City. Fungi or no fungi, she was interested in going to Europe. Some airplane company had advertised inexpensive round-trip fares purchasable only by adults enrolled in the new school. People had studied the catalogue as though what a menu, looking for the cheapest course regardless of what was being taught. The lady who told me this had had a change of mind, or a particular flight had been postponed, I don't remember which. One way or another, she lost interest in Europe. Another noticing fungi in Bavarian and Milanese markets sent postcards. One Sunday morning. Mother said to Dad, "Let's go to church." Dad said, "Okay." When they drove up in front, Dad showed no sign of getting out of the car. Mother said, "Aren't you coming in?" Dad said, "No, I'll wait for you here." I once had a job washing dishes at the Bluebird Tea Room in Carmel, California. I worked 12 hours a day in the kitchen. I washed all the dishes and pots and pans, scrubbed the floor, washed the vegetables, crates of spinach, for instance. And if the owner came along and found me resting, she sent me out to the backyard to chop up wood. She paid me $1 a day. One day, I noticed that some famous concert pianist was coming to town to give a recital, and I decided to finish my work as quickly as possible in order to get to the concert without missing too much of it. I did this. As luck would have it, my seat was next to that of the lady who owned the Bluebird Tea Room, my employer. I said, "Good evening." She looked the other way, whispered to her daughter. They both got up and left the hall. Certain tribes in Siberia trade several sheep for one Amanita muscaria and use the mushroom for orgiastic practices. The women chew the raw mushroom and the chewed up pulp is mixed with blueberry juice. This is drunk by the men and is productive of hallucinations. It also changes the relation between the ego and social ideals. Thus, the urine of those who have been affected by the mushroom is high in demand and is drunk with pleasure, for it contains a sufficient amount of the drug to continue its wild effects. The Vikings who went berserk are thought to have done so by means of the same mushroom. Nowadays, we hear of biochemical experiments using Amanita muscaria or other hallucinatory mushrooms or the drugs synthesized in imitation of them. Experiments in such professors, students, and criminals become temporarily schizophrenic, sometimes for the novelty of it, other times for purely scientific purpose. Just as soon we will travel to the moon and other Earths and add to our telephone conversations the practice of seeing one another while we speak.
Artists talk a lot about freedom. So, recalling the expression free as a bird, Morton Feldman went to a park one day and spent some time watching our feathered friends. When he came back, he said, "You know, they're not free. They're fighting over bits of food." You probably know the one about the two monks, but I'll tell it anyway. They were walking along one day when they came to a stream where a young lady was waiting, hoping that someone would help her across. Without hesitating, one of the monks picked her up and carried her across, putting her down safely on the other side. The two monks continued walking along, and after some time, the second one, unable to restrain himself, said to the first, "You know, we're not allowed to touch women. Why did you carry that woman across the stream?" The first monk replied, "Put her down. I did 2 hours ago." Just the other day, I went to the dentist. Over the radio, they said it was the hottest day of the year. However, I was wearing a jacket. Because going to a doctor has always struck me as a somewhat formal occasion. In the midst of his work, Dr. Heyman stopped and said, "Why don't you take your jacket off?" I said, "I have a hole in my shirt, and that's why I have my jacket on." He said, "Well, I have a hole in my sock, and if you like, I'll take my shoes off." A young man in Japan arranged his circumstances so that he was able to travel to a distant island to study Zen with a certain master for a 3-year period. At the end of the 3 years, feeling no sense of accomplishment, he presented himself to the master and announced his departure. The master said, "You've been here 3 years. Why don't you stay 3 months more?" The student agreed. But at the end of the 3 months, he still felt he had made no advance. When he told the master again that he was leaving, the master said, "Look now, you've been here 3 years and 3 months. Stay 3 weeks longer." The student did, but with no success. When he told the master that absolutely nothing had happened, the master said, "You've been here 3 years, 3 months, and 3 weeks. Stay 3 more days, and if at the end of that time you have not attained enlightenment, commit suicide." Towards the end of the second day, the student was enlightened. After an hour or so in the woods, looking for mushrooms. Dad said, well, we can always go and buy some real ones. I have a friend whose actions resemble overwhelming inspirations, constantly changing in her course. She, nevertheless, does fully whatever it is she is doing, so that I would say she is committed. She would like, however, she told me, not to have two of everything, but just one, so that she could be utterly concentrated. When she told me this, I was surprised, because I thought she was committed in the first place. And because I, myself, feel more committed, the more diverse and multiplied my interests and actions become.